We have with us today Mr. Gene Kelly from the Engineering Department, Mr. Bob Stewart from the Paramedics Department. We recently, the Engineering Department and Paramedic Department were informed as a result of an audit by the State of Delaware Department of Labor that we would be required to pay prevailing wages as determined by the State of Delaware, where our agreement to build the paramedic station number 102 near Laurel. Various meetings have occurred with a contractor, state, county staff, and so on, and they have come up with an estimated maximum cost to bring the contract into compliance with state prevailing wage law of a maximum cost of $56,395.
And how much?
$56,395. And this is due to the state is funding 40% of the cost of this project. And because of that, we are subject to the prevailing wage law. Mr. Moore has reviewed the law and agrees that we do have to comply for this particular project. It is our understanding that most of the rates, which range from a low of $16.45 per hour for a roofer to over $54 an hour for a glazier, are double what has been what you normally would pay in the open marketplace in Sussex County. Some of the rates are even greater than that required by federal Davis-Bacon wages. So work on the project has virtually stopped because of this this concern, this problem. But we wanted to bring this to your attention prior to the next meeting, which is September 15th, so we could try to at least get the authority to approve a change order for a maximum amount. Some of the subcontractors have not completed their detailed analysis of their wages paid. But the contractors has told us that they would guarantee that the maximum amount would not exceed $56,395. We will continue negotiating and working on this change order, in order to complete the project and complete it in a timely way, we're asking for the council's approval for this at a maximum amount. The change order requires payment to individual employees at these higher wage rates, and thus the detailed information is needed from each subcontractor and contractor to determine the exact amount. We're also putting other subcontractors that are on the job on notice that this letter has been received from the Department of Labor. So we are very disappointed to be presenting this to you for your consideration, but we were not aware that this was a requirement when it was bid, and for that reason, we are here where we're at today with a change order.
Can we just do 40%? Can we just pay the state had a 40% of the contract, and we just isolate that?
State's not going to pitch in, is what you're saying.
And who's going to keep track of the subcontractors and how many laborers they had and who they had there? Nobody knows. I bet even.
Well, the Department of Labor has contacted the contractor and the subcontractors, and everybody is very much aware of the situation.
And the checks
that's
go directly
with the project.
The checks will go directly to those employees.
Department of Labor is right on top of this, and I think that I don't see why they wouldn't. I think it's very it's going to be watched very closely.
Well, let me ask you this: have they stopped?
I believe one of the subcontractors is still working, but other than that, the main contractor, until they had approval for this, till we can clear this up, the main contractor has pretty much stopped work.
Even though his contract with us has not been violated by either side. I mean, we have met all our obligations per that contract. Isolating the state issue is something separate. Do they have the right to stop? I mean, what if we just said, the heck with the state, we'll pay for it ourselves to make a point? Not that we would, but they would still be obligated to finish the job under the contracted rate, would they not?
we didn't accept the money from the state.
Since, number one, you have accepted money from the state, there are some exceptions, but one of the exceptions, if you would be, for example, a nonprofit, but it does clearly state in our contract that it's a political subdivision of the state of Delaware that is entered into the contract that makes us have to comply with the wages. There are some very severe penalties for not complying, and some of those penalties include triple the amount of wages instead of the what we've been able to negotiate.
So contractually speaking, between us and the contractor, we're obligated. This isn't just a gun that the state's holding to our head. This is something, contractually speaking, that would hold up in court.
That is correct.
Okay.
So, has one of the employees complained? Is this what started this thing?
No.
There has to be some,
What started this was the Department of Labor did an audit of one or more of the contractors. During that audit, they found that the correct wages were not being paid. And as a result of that, they contacted the county.
So Alan Levine was here. That was a good point you made with him a while ago. They don't have nothing else to do. They run around and say they can create a bigger problem, spend more of our money, and create, you know, we already had this solved. They're creating a problem when there was no problem.
Well, I would like to move that we give the administrator the authority to proceed with the work, to authorize that the work proceed, and I don't see where we have any choice. This is the law.
It's not a good law, though, is it?
Who required them to quit? Who told them they had to quit? Who told them to walk off the job?
Cost the people of this county?
You can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that they, on their own, because of the uncertainty regarding this issue.
He was still getting his money, wasn't he? Wasn't he still getting his money?
This is what happens, Sam, when you take state and federal money. There's strings attached.
Yep.
The Department of Labor has been in contact with the contractor, maybe even some of the subcontractors.
Well, Mike, we want the job to proceed.
Mike, come on up. I think there's probably more than one question for you.
The contractor's concern was, the reason he stopped was, he was
concerned that he would get put in a position where he would have to pay his employees the wage rates, mm-hmm. but yet because he had a contract with the county for the lesser amount, that he would get stuck holding the big bill. And, you know, in consideration of the contractor, he certainly was not at fault in any of this.
Cash for clunkers. He was afraid he wouldn't get his money.
Otherwise,
I'll second.
In one sense,
thank
you. Fault.
Thank
you.
You
should know what the law is. I guess we should know.
Okay. Here's our situation. We asked the funding agency whether
Mr. Izzo, okay. Please, just a minute. I have a motion and a second on the floor. Is there further discussion? Mr. Izzo, you have the floor.
We asked at the beginning of the project, we had a meeting with the paramedics and the people who were bringing the grant money to them, and we asked them at that point, were wage rates required? Because we do many jobs with wage rates. We have jobs with state wage rates. We have jobs with federal wage rates. And now with stimulus money, you have jobs where you have to use the higher of the two, either state or federal wage rates. So we work with wage rates all the time. The information given to us at the beginning of the job from the funding agency was that wage rates were not required, and we reacted accordingly.
The funding?
And that was a state agency that told you that.
I have to talk to the young lady who came down, Bob, that when we had our first initial meeting, who described when the requirements of the monies that would come due. Was she a state employee?
She worked in the state office of EMS.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. It doesn't matter who told us we're stuck.
We have it to do, but I would certainly hope that we will send a letter to the governor's office explaining our extreme displeasure and a waste of Sussex County tax dollars have to do this after the fact.
Especially when all the contractors are very happy with the contracts that they had gotten from the county. I mean, everybody was happy, and now we're just throwing money out just to make people happier.
I mean, Mr. Moore, if you were the second lowest bidder, and now your bid actually is going to come in much lower than ultimately what we're paying the contractor, I'd almost think that they would want to get into the mix and say, wait a minute, there was an unfair bid process. Hey, aren't we opening up ourselves to litigation on a number of fronts here?
It looks like it.
You would be opening yourself up for sure for litigation if you don't do not.
We do not pay him.
And the penalties there are quite extreme, as I indicated.
All right, let's move along.
Damages.
But if the state is the one who apparently indicated that we did not have to pay this, do they not have some liability in
better
this?
Better get that in writing, man. Understanding nobody's got that.
From that statement, that if someone from the EMS office, I'm not sure the someone from the EMS office would be an expert in wage law.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on the floor. To approve the change order as read by Mr. Baker. Is there any further discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote no. Motion carried. Administrator's report.
The last item is a short administrator's report.
You're just making
a fuss.
Statements, I guess.
And it's simply regarding the county holiday schedule. The Sussex County Council will not meet on next Tuesday, September 1st, for a summer holiday. On September 7th, county offices will be closed in honor of Labor Day, and the county council will not meet on September 8th in honor of Labor Day. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the county council will be at 3 p.m. on September 15th.
Thank you for that report.
Good job. Good job, Dave. Good job.
That's a
best
record
report you ever got.
You got the good work.
Mr. Izzo.
Doing a fine job down there, Dave.
He did do a great job out at the airport today. Thank
yes,
you, Mr.
He did.
Baker.
Oh, thank you.
Hal Godwin. Oh, excuse me, Hal Godwin. Mike, you can have a seat.
Got to give some money away.
Mr. President, members of council, today we have a request from three of our illustrious towns who would like to make draws against their municipal police grant that you establish every year. The three towns are Georgetown, Seaford, and Bethany Beach, and they're each asking for the full draw of $15,000.
They're scared to death they won't get it.
Are they here?
Yeah, this group is.
Georgetown is requesting this money for a crowd control barriers, property identification labels, and office supplies. Seaford would like to purchase, this will pay for part of, a new 2009 Ford Crown Victoria police car, and Bethany Beach the same. This will pay for part of an additional police car for them as well. If you can like, I can give you a motion.
Anybody here from the towns?
Why?
They don't generally come.
I know that. I'm just asking the question. It's a lot of money, and didn't know if they
I
were
did
here
see
or
the
not.
Police chief from Georgetown at our event before council at the airport.
All right. Thank you.
Read the motion, Mr. Godwin.
Yes, sir. Be it moved the Sussex County Council allot $15,000 from the Municipal Police Grant Fund to Bethany Beach, $15,000 for Seaford, and $15,000 for Georgetown to be used in compliance with the grant fund.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second to approve the grants. Read by Mr. Godwin. Any questions? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Yes. Motion
thank
carried.
You.
Thank you, Mr. Godwin. Mr. Izzo?
Half a car driving around these towns. Jane, can you give him a whole now?
25.
Mm-hmm. You tight wads down here, cut them back. For half a car. How are they going to drive half a car?
I'm going to drive it half at a time.
Drive half this year, get half next year.
That's right. Get a car this year, half next year.
Okay, good afternoon. I have several items on my agenda today. The first is in regards to a proposed lease with the town of Greenwood, and I have a handout that's being passed down. And basically that shows a proposed site plan for a new and expanded Greenwood Library. You may recall that the Greenwood Library was originally constructed back in about 1988. Sometime in the mid-90s, about 1997, we actually executed a new lease with the town of Greenwood, because at that time we actually did a small expansion of the Greenwood Library. Made the library about 3,000 square feet at that point, and we executed a lease with the town. Now, the lease at that point only covered the exact footprint of the building. In other words, even though we have parking there, things of that nature, utilities, or at least with the town of Greenwood as it exists today, only covers the footprint of the building. Now, we've been talking for several years about a proposed expansion project at the Greenwood Library. We had applied for state funding for design of the new facility. That money did not get put in the bond bill this year. The idea was that we would be under design for the new facility right now. However, because that money did not get put into the bond bill, obviously the project's on hold. However, you know, based upon the discussions that we've had with the town, and actually Mr. Jones, when he was still on the county council, had asked me to move the lease forward. And basically the way that the lease would be is we would now occupy the entire lot where the library is currently located. You can see it kind of shows like a draft expansion plan, expanded parking in the front. You can see the small section that's the existing building, and then we would expand the building to the rear of the lot. State funding requires that we have to do a minimum structure of 10,000 square feet. So we would do something in the 10,000 to 14,000 square foot expansion. We were looking at a proposed $3 million project. The project would allow $1.5 million coming from the state, and then the county and the Friends of the Greenwood Library would have to come up with a $1.5 million match. None of that set in stone as I sit here today. All we're looking to do, just based upon the discussions that we've had with the town of Greenwood and since the last the lease was drafted and has been found to be in order, the original lease, we were paying $10 per year, and that's we're going to continue to do that at this time. The term of the lease would go to 2022, which was the end of the term of the original lease, and then at that point, we would have an option for another 25 years. So really, you're not committing to any real funding of the project at this point. We would just execute the lease and continue to pay the $10 a year that we have been paying. The difference is we would now have control of the entire lot.
Does council got comments?
I have a motion I can read if there
Mr.
aren't
Izzo,
any Yes.
This doesn't commit us to move forward with the expansion.
No, it does not.
Is it your opinion, though, that that is something that is likely to be brought before us anytime soon?
I would think we would, and Mrs. Fitzgerald is not here, but I know she has met with the State Library Council within the last month, and they are supportive of this project. The idea is that there would be approximately $500,000 put in next year's bond bill, and that would be money to initiate the design of the project next fiscal year. And at some point, you know, we would have to bring in a contract to initiate the design. And that would be the county council's opportunity to say yes or no on the project.
And we would have to pay prevailing wage rates?
You wouldn't for the design, but yes, you would indeed. Library projects have state funding, and we do pay state wage rates on all the library projects, just like we just did the Milton Library and the South Coastal Library.
Okay.
One of my concerns is that three county libraries are being funded probably 2.5 times what the 11 independent libraries are being funded. Just some round numbers would be $200,000 for the independent libraries from the council versus the $500,000+ for the county-owned libraries. It would make sense, I think, if we were going to expand this library exponentially like this, our operating costs would also go up significantly, would they not, Ms. Webb?
Yes, definitely. If their square footage is increasing, they've got more utilities, insurance is higher on the new building, so.
I mean, there has been
staffing, they could need extra staffing.
The idea has been thrown out that maybe we should entertain the notion of turning over the facilities of these three county-owned libraries to the local organizations, whether it's the Friends of the Greenwood Library or the Friends of the South Coastal Library. In the long run, we probably would be a lot of dollars to the good, would we not, Ms. Webb?
in a general sense, you know, not individually speaking, but in a general sense, there's probably some disparity among county library and an independent library as far as the wages paid and the benefits earned and maybe some of the supplies that they could afford in a general sense.
Well, that would be with almost any kind of organization. I mean, we're a county. We're bigger than some of the small towns. So we would have a better ability, like the state would with state library or whatever. So, I mean, it's all relative. Right. I don't
turn county council over to private people.
Yeah, I don't know. Many counties run all the libraries in many many county jurisdictions. We don't. We have three. I think if you get an active friends group, like I'm familiar with South Coastal, they do a heck of a job bringing money to the table and participate, and it really, you know, binds the community. So I don't know, Vance, about trying to turn things over. I think it's nice that the county does have some of these assets, and we have the potential to use them for other things, meeting places and maybe in emergencies and other things. So I don't know if I'm ready to dump our some assets that we have because
I see his point.
I don't see any reason why we have to.
I see Vance's point. Why does one town have a private library? The next neighboring town is run by the county library. I mean, why are we in competition with these people?
Well, the South Coastal is a regional that we have. It's not owned by any town. It is a town, but it is a regional library.
Yeah.
Milton and Greenwood have just been that way for how many years, Mike? 40 years?
Well, Greenwood, to the best of my knowledge, 1988.
Well, maybe this
would
be...
Well, actually, before...
They may have had a trailer.
They started in a trailer.
They could have been
like
South
Coastal Library 30-plus years ago. No, Milton Library was actually run by an independent board at one time, and in
county,
I think
the
early 80s, it was turned over to the county.
Well, maybe we ought to visit these towns and see what they think, see if they'd like to have the library turned to them.
I know there was a school of thought that Bridgeville and Greenwood should join together and do one bigger library in a mm-hmm. common area, but I don't, you know, I'm more involved in the design and construction end, and I don't know anything about operations and maintenance of libraries, but I do recall those discussions.
Well, anytime you build a bigger facility, it's going to cost you more money, no doubt. Gentlemen, but I think the relationship we have at South Coastal is the South Coastal friends do offset some of those costs, mm-hmm. don't they, David? Don't they pony up some funds on?
Yeah, they help considerably with capital costs,
oh, yeah.
of course.
They do a lot of volunteer work, too.
They do a lot of volunteer work, right. Plus they help with other expenses.
Now, they may have the ability to do that where others may not.
That's right.
That's the only thing. That's what we have to weigh out, Sam, and I would agree with you there. We need to look at Greenwood and see... What can Greenwood handle? Can Greenwood handle a 15,000 square foot or 14,000, or should they have the minimum of 8,000 or 10,000 square foot or whatever? So they ought to be built and geared to their communities, not just some plan off of a shelf or something like that. So.
And I guess my point is that this would appear to be the first step in a multi-million-dollar commitment by the county,
yeah.
And I might prefer not to take that first step, but with it all on the table, we'll see how this goes. Mr. Vincent, have you any thoughts?
I'm just thinking maybe we should revisit how we fund all libraries. Why should we give one more than another?
We fund them through the tax, library tax, right?
Dedicated.
Didn't hear his question.
I know.
Listen,
but we don't.
Question.
My point is why we fund them more one than another.
Mr.
We don't own them.
Mr. Baker, do you have some thoughts on that?
Well, it's there's sort of a little bit of history to it where.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, years and years ago, the independent libraries were funded at various levels. And there was, for instance, the Laurel Library had substantial endowments, unlike so many other libraries, and all that was taken into account. So mm-hmm. they received a low amount at that time from the county. And gradually, over the years, the idea was to try to bring them in, the independents in, roughly the same level. I think Mr. Phillips' question about whether or not it's less expensive for us to go independent, I don't think there's any question about that. The independent libraries are less costly, but again, like Mrs. Webb said, you know, they may not provide much in terms of benefits or salaries may be lower or whatever, I don't know.
Well, and our funding, do we take into account as to usage of a library?
The
as far as when we give the money to the library, we review their budgets. annually, is that what you mean?
Numbers,
I mean,
numbers.
I mean, as to how many people actually, how many books they put out, how many people use the
circulation.
Library.
Right, yeah. Right.
Does that base our numbers?
We cut back on the bookmobile quite a lot.
Mine, maybe back in the history, probably had to do with circulation.
The library, an independent library group got together a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
I guess, and they came up with a method to try to increase the funding for certain libraries instead of just, you know, like giving them all a little bit more every year or whatever, to try to even it up and then also take into account the circulation, the amount of usage that some of the libraries have over some that are less used. And it is sort of a graduated type thing. It's not a, it's not, you know, if you look at, if you looked at the cost per circulated book or whatever, it's, there's disparities. There's no question.
Well, why don't we do, I mean, I know with the fire companies, Mike, you know how we give, every fire company gets an equal amount, and all their needs aren't equal. You get some of these big towns
and
get as
towns,
much as a little, you know, a little service. Anyway, we don't want to get into that system with libraries, but
yeah.
could we revisit it? Because I think we started with numbers that were based on some other numbers, which aren't all probably balanced out and fair to each one of them. So maybe we ought to see if we could tear it all apart. But I don't know if that's our job. I think all these independent libraries like being independent, to be honest with you. They like the independence of Georgetown running their library or the people at Seaford running their library like that. So
and I'm not,
we
got
to be careful how we
invent the wheel on this. Maybe we all need to talk about sometime how the money gets there, where it comes from. And
I agree.
I mean, I just want to be fair.
Right. We collect it all in the library tax. It all goes to one big lump sum, and then we break it down based on this formula that was developed back 5-6 years ago. Right, Dave?
Yeah.
Well, we have the library tax. You have the manufacturer home placement fee, which
right.
is divided
yeah. which
up.
Is very low now.
Capitation tax, whatever
mm-hmm.
we collect on that, they receive
right.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then
and
there's
grant.
An even a county grant. You add all that up, and then it's.
Then
know,
we divvy it up.
To the library, the
but it's how we
libraries.
Divide it up, I think, is what Mike's saying. Is there a better formula based on circulation or based on this or based on some
on
criteria
yeah.
that all of them, we can all look at each of them and equally get those numbers from them? So.
Well, you're saying that Councilman Jones was interested in this, and that's kind of...
He had asked me before he left office to move
uh-huh.
this lease forward. So.
He lives in Canada, doesn't he?
Well, he must have seen a need there that we're not hearing about now.
He increased circulation. He walked in and out of it 10 times a day and never took a book out.
But, I mean, the lease is just something, a document we need to be to sign with Town of Greenwood. And we're going to pay them $10 a year?
Yeah, you know, it's just changing the footprint. And maybe if you're not going to, you know, pursue the library project, maybe it doesn't make sense to expand the lease at this point.
Well, the town
well,
was very interested
year, right?
in keeping
right.
the library
it just
in
changes
that location.
The footprint.
Sure.
And that's,
Mike,
there were other properties that were looked at a year
just
or so
this.
Ago.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the council, you can read the motion. I have a feeling it'll fly, but there does seem to be some bigger issues at hand. I would encourage you not to maybe rush forward with any expansion plans just yet.
I think
in this new era of internet, there's a very efficient system of interconnectivity between the libraries. Do they need an extra 11,000 square feet when they can call up a number and have a book delivered within a couple of days from another library? I mean, there's a lot of questions on the table. Mr. Vincent's question about funding is important as well. If there's no more questions, let me ask Mr. Izzo to read the motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approves the agreement with the Town of Greenwood for the lease of parcel 5-30-10.13-180 for the operation of a county library, which also extinguishes the existing lease from October 1997.
And Sam, you can only vote if you got a library card.
I'll make a motion.
You got a library
second.
Card?
I have a motion and a second to approve the agreement read by Mr. Izzo. Is there any further questions?
I just want to say, and of course, no question on that, but you know, two things that Mr. Levin said businesses are looking for when to come here are not. And the first one was education. I'm very interested in finding out if the people in Greenwood need that library. I think it might be a very important thing for those people. Anyway, no, I don't have any discussion on the motion. I would vote in favor of it.
Mr. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay.